the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good evening. My name is Pam Cousins, and I'm a member of Belmont here. It's good to see you all. She settled down for the evening to watch her favourite television programme, relaxed and happy. And 5 minutes into the programme, the telephone went. Should she answer it? Well, I suppose it might be important. And perhaps, well, she could ask the person if they were very kind, if they didn't mind ringing later. And so she lifted the receiver, and her heart sank. It was her talkative friend who comes through every now and again, and she launched, as she always did, into her aches and her pains and the things that she'd been doing and all the occupations that she had in life, and, well, the television got lost, and she settled down to listen to this monologue. And after about 50 minutes, she said, do you think we might go and make a cup of tea now? And the caller said, oh, what's the time? Oh, have I been talking that long? Oh, dear, I'm so sorry. Bye-bye. But the television program had gone, and the somewhat exhausted woman who'd been listening went to make the cup of tea. The need for patience in everyday life, especially with people. We're continuing the series on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, which you might like to have open if you want to, but we've been looking at the soil and the rotten fruit, love, joy and peace, and this evening's fruit are patience and kindness. I believe some of you have already studied patience in your house groups. Rather ironically, I was on holiday for mine, so I don't know what they said, but you will already, no doubt, have shared all your examples of patience and impatience as you settled into the study. We do live in an impatient world, don't we? People frustrate us by their attitudes and their opinions and their behavior. People want everything the day before yesterday. Cars toot us and try to overtake or slip into the gaps we leave. One nearly hit me this week. Teachers need to exercise patience with children, especially the aggressive and the difficult ones, or perhaps simply need patience to help those who don't learn so easily and are slow at doing it. Cues make us impatient, whether we're waiting for that person at the head of the long supermarket queue who wasn't able to decide which pumpkin to settle on when the price was mentioned, which is also my experience last week, or on the road following the little old lady in her red Fiesta, travelling happily along at 25 to 30 miles an hour with one brake light missing, developing a long, slow trail of cars behind her. Yes, I caught myself muttering and commenting most ungraciously. I don't have to go on, do I? We all know situations where we discover how short our fuses are. Patience, forbearance, self-restraint, staying power, or what I rather like, long-tempered instead of being short-tempered. Why is it important? It's not just that it's good for the blood pressure. It's because it's a characteristic of both God and Jesus. And that's what we need to mirror. God's patience and his sternness, actually, as well, because Paul in Romans mentions the two together, but God's patience as he sought to teach and train the people of Israel, as we read in the Old Testament, that people that he'd rescued from slavery to be a blessing to the nations around, how they tried his patience as we read through the history of Israel in the Old Testament. Speaking through the prophets, the Lord called his people time and again to remain focused on him. Is it not enough, Isaiah writes, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God? And those lovely words in Hosea chapter 11, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Israel I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the more they went from me. God's patience with his people in the Old Testament. That Peter, in his second letter, reminds his readers that God's patience extends to this present age and to the new Israel that he's calling out. He patiently waits for us to respond to his love and the rescue that he's provided from slavery, from sin, which he offers in Jesus. And this is what Peter, in one of his letters, writes. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that offer still remains open. I wonder if you're here this evening aware that God has been calling you. Has he spoken to you through a friend, a Bible, a conscience, an experience? Maybe you're on that journey towards faith. Have you had that growing conviction that you should respond? You've had obstacles and objections to overcome. God patiently waits for us until we give way and trust him. And those who love the Lord will have to confess that we've tried the patience of God many a time. Repeated failings, lessons not learnt, time spent on worrying when there's been no need, losing touch when pressures or excitements of life get too much. Time and again, he gently and patiently reminds us of our commitment. And then, of course, there was the patience of Jesus with people, especially with those disciples whom he'd called to follow him. We read in Mark that he sent them out to preach and cast out demons. But when it came to healing a boy who was possessed, they couldn't do anything, and the father had to turn to Jesus. And we just get a glimpse of the trial of patience that Jesus experienced when his reaction was, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" So even the Lord had to battle with this. But God persisted with his wayward people, and his plans were not thwarted. Jesus came, and ultimately he went to the cross, bearing with patience the shame of his treatment and disappointment with his disciples, who were not there for him at the end. We read in Peter's letter again, when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The patience of the Lord Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. And that day by day means being patient with people. But there's another way in which we need to be patient, and that's patience in prayer. That great man of prayer, George Muller, said, "It's not enough to begin to pray, nor to pray aright, nor is it enough to continue for a time to pray, but we must pray patiently, believing, and continue in prayer until we obtain an answer." Now you might be thinking, well, yeah, that's all very well, but the waiting is hard sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes we cry out to God, "Why so long?" Job, supposedly known for his patience, actually wasn't all that patient, was he? If you read through his story, as his suffering seemed to have no end, he cried out to God, "I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest but turmoil. Does it please you to oppress me?" But the word patience in his case actually is perseverance. And James, in the New Testament, who uses him as an illustration, says, "See what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Patience in prayer. And then patience when we are provoked. Patience in provocation, hurt, and injury. Patience needed where we're facing people who unjustly treat us. Harsh words, criticism, when we feel we've been unjustly treated and we can't do anything about it, or when it's a result of our being faithful to God. And at this point, I couldn't help feeling that those who are most in need of patience, perhaps, are those in the other parts of the world who are persecuted. In many countries, Christians are harassed, discriminated against, slandered unjustly, accused, summarily arrested and sometimes imprisoned, beaten, exiled or killed. Violence comes from both governments and religious extremists. They may be driven from their homes, pastors whose churches are destroyed, family members who wait while loved ones are in prison for a long time. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted. Now, this morning we were looking at material from Open Doors. I myself follow the prayer list of Release, which is a similar organization helping persecuted Christians throughout the world. Yesterday I read the request for prayer. Pray for Christian father of four whose appeal against a death sentence, he lives in Pakistan, whose appeal against a death sentence for blasphemy is currently being heard. He has been detained since 2005 and was recently moved to a prison 9 hours' drive from his family home. So I thought we'd pause at this point. Shall we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in the world? Heavenly Father, we pray for Christians all over the world who are suffering for their faith. We pray for those who are treated unjustly, harassed, imprisoned, physically violated and in danger of their lives. For their families and children and for the widows and orphans, we pray they may cope with the sense of loss and isolation and yet still remain full of faith and hope. May the children be protected from long-term psychological and emotional harm and bitterness. And Lord, we pray for the converts from other faiths who are rejected by their families or face opposition and attempts to make them recant. Lord, we ask that you will protect them. We think, Lord, of pastors who see their church buildings destroyed, congregations that have been attacked, groups that meet in secret, living with the fear of discovery and punishment. We pray for Christian lawyers who try to win justice for Christian prisoners. And Lord, how we ask that those who suffer remain strong in the faith and able to go on trusting you despite physical and psychological abuse. Please, Lord, help them to forgive those who persecute them. And may they know your love, peace, and patience, and even in desperate circumstances, continue to be fruitful witnesses to others. And we thank you and commit to you the individuals and the agencies that seek to help and meet the needs of those who suffer. Give them patience and strength as they face desperate situations and people in deep distress. Dear Lord, have mercy on this sorrowing and suffering world, and especially show your love to these brothers and sisters of ours, we pray. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If patience is about self-restraint, kindness is about self-giving. It's that combination of compassion and generosity. Kindness may require time and effort. It may cost nothing or it may cost quite a lot. As with patience, it's seen in God's dealing with people and in the life of the Lord Jesus. God shows his kindness supremely in giving his son to us. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians of the incomparable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And of course, we see all these qualities, all this fruit in the life of Jesus, and we see kindness in his life too. Do you remember the way he touched the leper? the way he halted the funeral of the widow's only son and expressed his gentleness to her, his kindness to her before he raised him. He had compassion on the crowds. He saw that they were fed. He gently treated the woman who anointed his feet in the Pharisee's house. Just some of the examples. But he also taught that we shouldn't just be kind to those we like or automatically feel drawn to. In the Sermon on the Mount, we read in Matthew's Gospel, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back, and then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Kindness requires discipline, doesn't it? In being thoughtful of other people's needs and doing something about it. How much is required to cultivate smiling rather than frowning? To pay a visit, to say a word of encouragement or comfort, to show friendliness by warmly and sincerely shaking hands, by going out of one's way to help, or just to spend time listening sympathetically to people and their needs and anxieties. These are things, and many more, that we can all do. I've got just one last word. There's a list containing these qualities of patience and kindness in another of Paul's letters, and it's the letter to the church at Colossae. And if you'll excuse me, I'm going to leave the fruit for the moment and use another metaphor, another picture. This time it's not fruit, but clothing. Clothe yourselves, says Paul in the letter to the Colossians, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love. Dare I say, love is the overcoat that holds all the rest in place. We should be wearing these qualities as naturally as we wear our clothes. And love is the primary fruit of the Spirit. It came first in the list, and it's always mentioned in connection with the others. And of course, it starts off the quoted passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. May the Lord help us in coming days to show that love, that patience, and that kindness. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the patience and the kindness that you show to us. We just pray, Lord, that in the coming weeks, as we've thought about it this evening, and perhaps as we've come afresh, Lord, to consider these two qualities, these two fruit, that you'll enable us to put them into practice more and more in our lives, so that, Lord, others may come to know you better, and others may come, Lord, to find the Lord Jesus for themselves. We ask these things, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.